Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Good to have you with us once again here in the Twin Cities, where the Rediscover Hour really focuses on evangelization, discipleship, getting to know Jesus, your Lord and Savior, and walking with Him on a daily basis. Boy, we've got a great show for you. If you've ever wanted to share Christ with other people, but you just don't know how, or you say, that's not my gift, or, you know, other people are good at that, and I do these things, this show is for you, because we're going to talk a little bit later on in the show with Denise Hurl. She's working with the St. Paul Street Evangelization Team. She's a leader here in the Twin Cities. We're going to talk about sharing your faith, sharing your story with other people, whether it's on the street to people you've never met before or to family members or colleagues at work. That we're going to talk about that. We're also going to be joined by Karen Laird, and she's going to talk to us about how they're promoting Catholic higher education at the State Fair this year. She's from the St. Paul Seminary and the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute Master's Program. That's going to be an exciting interview. Plus, hey, we got a big announcement for you. Allie Aaliyah, she's been on the show before. She's up for the Emerging Artist of the Year Award out at the Abbey Fest in Philadelphia. Well, she's going to be here September 3rd in the Twin Cities at the Ice House for her new album premiere. And young adults, anybody's invited to that. She's going to share with us more about that. Really, really a unique artist. One of today's premier Catholic artists. She's announcing her new album here in the Twin Cities, and that's going to be September 3rd. We'll talk to her a little bit later on during the show. She works with Father Mike Schmitz up in Duluth in his efforts of evangelization. You're familiar, most likely familiar with Father Schmitz and his work here in the Twin Cities and nationwide. Hey, I had a wonderful little summer break. I hope you've had an opportunity for a vacation. We did something a little bit different this year. We always do something as a family, you know, but we did something a little different this year in that, in addition, I should say, to a family break, I went to Canada with a number of other guys on motorcycles. We left last Sunday and at our house here in the Twin Cities, and three of us left the Twin Cities and went up to Saskatchewan to Estevan, and we met up with some other riders from Canada, and then we started out on a trek which was really interesting. We stopped at major cities like Banff and Calgary and Edmonton and Hinton, and then we went down into Montana to Columbia Falls and Whitefish and on through South Dakota home. But here's what was interesting about it. About 15 guys ended up riding from city to city and fellowshipping with one another, staying at retreats, and speaking to men's groups in each city. And we were followed by a barbecue truck. And the barbecue truck went ahead of us and got all set up, and the men of that parish, like in Calgary and Edmonton and Hinton, Banff, they met us, and we had an amazing barbecue, and then I was able to speak to the men of that city about their walk with Christ. And it was really about the Catholic Watchman, which is big here in the Twin Cities, as well as the God Squad, which is in Canada. It was really a lot of fun. And during that trip, I'll just tell you this, we had an amazing opportunity to share Christ. We were at a restaurant one night, and it was in Canada over by Banff. And we were sitting, about 10 of us in the restaurant at that point, motorcycles out in front. And I suppose we look like a Catholic motorcycle gang, if there is such a thing. But we were sitting there, and there was a group of about 8 young girls across the room, and it looked like it was some kind of pre-wedding party with the girls. And they were having a lot of fun, and the guys were talking, and they were saying, well, do you think that's like a stagette party, or is that a birthday party? What do you guys think? And they said, well, I think it's a stagette party. I think there's a wedding around the corner. So one of the guys went over and said, what are you guys celebrating? You see, this is how you become a witness. You just ask questions. What are you guys celebrating? And they said, well, she's getting married. And oh, that's great. And so they came back to the table, and we said, you know what? We should give her a gift. This is our opportunity to share. So what we did is we added up the years of our own marriages, and we came up with 188 years of motorcycle gang sitting around the table. So we went over there, and we said, we want to congratulate you. And we represent 188 years of marriage as Christians. And we want to know, is that the kind of guy you're marrying? And they're like, oh my gosh. And the lady said, well, I hope so. And we said, we do too, and we want to pray for you. Well, they were so touched by it. And you might think to yourself, well, that's weird. It's a restaurant, and I could never do that. But listen to their response. Their response was, thank you. And can we get our picture with you? So we got our picture with these eight young ladies that were celebrating a future marriage. And get this, we went back and sat down. And one of the guys in the group said, that lady, another lady across the room, she was staring at those girls the whole time, and she looked so alone and broken. So we went over there and just said hi and asked if she knew what was going on over there, and she said no. And we told her and started to share Christ with her, and it was amazing. And then we went outside to get on our bikes, and we ran into the father of the guy she was marrying and was able to share Christ with him, and he was so touched that he began to cry. And he said, I needed this in my life tonight. That's called a night out with Catholic Motorcycle Gang. And that's the way it is in our life, huh? Anywhere we go, God opens up amazing doors in our life to share him. And we're going to talk more about that on the show today. Denise Hurl is going to join us in a few minutes to talk about that. But be open to being used by the Lord. You know, Paul says, he says, God can do more than you could ever imagine or think. He can do more. And we just have to give him the room to do that, right? Or as they say on the motorcycle trip, we need to give God room to do that, eh? All right. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away. Lots of good stuff on the show today. Rediscover.
Many of us have come to realize our individual wounds are in need of God's healing grace. Dr. Bob Schutz of the John Paul II Healing Center in Tallahassee, Florida, is a licensed marriage and family therapist who has integrated the teachings of St. John Paul II and the Catholic Church with his professional expertise to bring about healing of the wounds of body, mind, and soul. Dr. Schutz and his team will be returning to our area to offer his powerful Healing the Whole Person Retreat on Friday and Saturday, September 16th and 17th at St. Henry's Catholic Church in Monticello, Minnesota. Register soon at jpiihealingcenter.org. That's jpiihealingcenter.org. Deadline for registration is September 1st. St. Henry's of Monticello invites all to come experience the healing power of God on September 16th and 17th. Register today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Just commenting before the break how we took a group of 15 guys and rode through Canada, went city to city sharing Christ and building up men in the faith. Also met some great people along the way. We had dinner with Cat Chat out of Bruno, Saskatchewan. Had lunch and dinner with the whole family of Janelle Reinhart. She's a great singer in Canada. Said wrote a song for John Paul II. That was amazing. And met David Bray. He's a young evangelist and singer in Canada. Just a lot of great people. And feel a real solidarity with our Canadian brothers and sisters, eh? Oh, look at that. The accent has rubbed off. I don't know what to say. Hey, joining us in just a minute is going to be Karen Laird. She's going to talk about what we're doing at the State Fair as far as higher education in the Twin Cities. And a little bit later on in the show, Ali Aliyah is going to join us to talk about her new announcement of her album, which she's chosen the Twin Cities to do it in September 3rd at the Ice House. It's going to be a big, big party concerning that album. If you've never heard music like hers, it really is incredible. And I would really encourage you to listen. Hey, I want to take a moment just to encourage you today. you know, in your faith with the Lord and your walk with the Lord. I know life gets busy and commitments are stacked up, and email and texts and the kids, and you got health issues and job and finance and everything else. I want to encourage you just to take some time today to give Jesus a chance in your life, to bring peace to your life. We as Christians, we study the faith. Yes, we go to Mass. We participate in the sacraments. But sometimes we can go through this and never really apply it to our own lives. And we find out that we're overwhelmed ourselves. And we think, well, you know, if this faith is true, why am I in the condition that I'm in today? And usually the answer is because of the choices that we make and the commitments that we take on in our life. And the key to that really is living the life of Jesus. You know, Jesus, I mean, think about his schedule. He looked at his day timer and said, man, I got to be everywhere. That's God's day timer. I got to be everywhere. But Jesus lived a very paced life here on earth. You don't see him frenzied and, you know, looking at his watch all day long and saying, I've taken on too much. But his key was that he spent time every day in prayer with his Heavenly Father, and that's where he was calibrated. That's where the plumb line was set in his life, and he was one with the Father's will, and the Catechism tells us that everything he said and everything he did is an outward evidence of what his prayer life was all about. So if you want to know what Jesus was praying about when he went up into the countryside alone to pray in the Sea of Galilee area, just look at his life during the day. What did he talk about? Who did he meet? What did he do? And that is all related to what he talked about with the Father in private. So do you have a time of prayer every day? Do you have a set schedule, or is it kind of willy-nilly, helter-skelter, that's out of control? Well, if that's your life, I would really encourage you to establish a set time of prayer every day. And a set way of prayer. It could be the Lord's Prayer and studying that. It could be the Rosary. It could be reading the Magnificat, which is the daily scripture readings. But get into a habit, and don't bite off more than you can chew if you're just beginning. 15 minutes, that's all I would ask, is 15 minutes. Just spend that with the Lord, and maybe a couple times during the week, stop by church on the way home and spend a few minutes in the presence of God. Start to get used to being in the presence of the Lord in your life. What seems like a difficult situation now, and what seems like something that just doesn't fit you, like stopping off at church and praying, it might seem a little uncomfortable. If you do it long enough, you'll find that it's something you actually crave. You actually crave it. And that's something that I just want to encourage you to do today. So if you're listening and say, wow, that's for me, then take it. Take it and run with it. Hey, joining us on the show right now is Karen Laird. She's with the St. Paul Seminary and also a student at the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. And she also works with the master's program over at St. Paul Seminary. If you haven't checked that out and you feel like God has a call on your life for education or to be a DRE in a parish, you really should check out the St. Paul Seminary master's program. So I want to welcome to the show, Karen. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good to be with you once again. How's it going over at the seminary?
It's going very well, thank you. We miss you.
It's such a nice atmosphere over there, and so it's fun, and there's so much going on at the seminary. It's one of the greatest in the country. What's your responsibility?
I am the marketing and communications coordinator for the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity and for St. John Vianney College Seminary.
Oh, both of them.
Yes. So we do have a lot going on.
Tell us a little bit about both of those real quick, because a lot of people, they've heard about them, but I don't think many people are, some people are not familiar with just how great of seminaries these are.
Right. We have a real treasure in the church here. So the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity and St. John Vianney College Seminary, they're both located on the campus of the University of St. Thomas. And the St. Paul Seminary, some people might refer to it as the major seminary. Mm-hmm. These are the men who have completed college. Some may have had a career. Some may have come right from undergraduate. But this is the graduate seminary where these men have discerned their call to the priesthood and are in formation then to be ordained as priests for the church. And we serve the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis and then several other dioceses throughout the upper Midwest. And even internationally, we have some men from Africa and other areas from other parts of the world as well. We have the School of Divinity, as you mentioned. We have three different master's programs for lay men and women who would like to seek a higher education to do work in the church or in the world. So those are really wonderful programs. And then the college seminary is for men who are earning an undergraduate degree while discerning their vocation to the priesthood. So,
and they're both very healthy, aren't they? And it's large numbers.
Yes, yes. We are very blessed with several seminarians and students right now.
Karen, you mentioned the master's program and the degrees that that you're offering. What kind of person might look into that if they're thinking about church work, or what other type of work might they say, you know, I should check into that?
Yes, that's a great question. There are some of our students are seeking a master's in theology, and they might go on perhaps someday to get a doctorate in order to teach someday. We have a master's in religious education and pastoral ministry, and as you mentioned, some of those folks might already be working as DREs in their parish, or caregivers, or even in social services in local communities. There are just a lot of there's a wide profile of who might enter into those programs because of the flexibility. Some might be working in parishes or other services. Some might be coming right from undergraduate. Some might have been out working in other careers and then heard this call and are coming back. So we have a variety of ages and demographics.
Or some of the catechetical institute graduates might be interested in that.
Yes, that might be a perfect segue for people who are introduced to, that really broad, great introduction to the teachings of the church through the catechism, and then say, I want more, and I'm really ready for a graduate degree and go deeper in these areas.
Okay, speaking of a master's degree and the state fair, do you have a master's on a stick for our people?
Well, I wish I could grant them that easily, but we have something else on a stick. We've got Pope Francis on a stick. We call them fans of Francis. So that's what we'll be giving away rather than graduate degrees.
Come on. So tell me about your state fair presence. Of course, that state fair opens up next week.
It does. I think
Thursday.
Yesterday. And for the fourth year in a row, the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity, St. John Vianney, the Catechetical Institute, we will have a presence at the fair at the University of St. Thomas booth in the Education Building. And we will be there on Sunday, August 28th. And for the fourth year in a row, we'll be handing out the very popular Fans of Francis. And it's this great image of our Holy Father smiling and giving a thumbs up. And on the back it says, we're fans of Francis. And it is just a great way for us to share the faith a little bit, but also talk about the University of St. Thomas, the undergrad, grad programs there, our graduate programs, our seminaries. It's been a very popular venue for us, and we have people come up to the booth and just smile when they see these fans, and they say, you know, Catholics, non-Catholics, you name it. We have so many people come up, and it just brings a smile. And on more than one occasion, we hear, I'm not even Catholic, and I love this Pope. Could I have a fan? We just are happy to share that with them.
Well, it's a beautiful picture, isn't it? I've seen it in the past, too, in the past fairs, as I was chomping away on the footlong hot dog and my cheese curds. I've seen people that were hot and worn out, and they've got a fan from you guys, and they're fanning themselves. Who were some of the fans in the past?
We've only done a fan of Francis.
Oh, is that? I thought in the past there was something you were handing out that I saw people walking around with.
Well, we've done two different images of the Holy Father.
Okay.
We're sticking with this real smiley thumbs up one with him for the last few years. But also at the booth, we also assist the university with giving away their very popular purple bags.
And again, where's the booth located?
It's located in the Education Building.
Okay. Is there any landmarks around there? Any footlong hot dogs around
there? Oh, gosh. I should know that. I don't know, and I apologize. I don't know the name of the street that it's
That's
on.
Okay.
But if they look at a map and find that Education Building, they'll find us.
I think you eventually will wander by it, because every year I walk in there and I see St. Thomas and everything that's going on. Look for a lot of purple, huh?
Look for a lot of purple, and look for us handing out the fans on the 28th. We would love to see people there. Another popular comment is, you know, people will come up and they might teach a religion class, and they say, could we have 15 or something for our students? And we're so happy to share that. We've even had preschool teachers come up, and they send us a picture of their students waving their fans. And we also have a life-size cutout of Pope Francis, who graces the fair now, and people can come and take their selfies with him.
Well, too. Karen, I appreciate you coming on the Rediscover Hour. If anybody is interested in more information about the seminary, the master's program, give us some directions on where to go.
Yes, the easiest place to start would be our websites, just www.stpaulseminary.org, and that's Saint spelled out, so stpaulseminary.org, and visit us there, and there would be contact information there. People can place a phone call or send us an email.
Thanks. Well, you're obviously doing a great job because it's two of the premier seminaries in the country. I get to travel all the time. I'll be in Kansas City tonight, and I hear constantly the people talking about the St. Paul Seminary and John Vianney, St. John Vianney. So you're doing a good job. So thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Jeff.
Karen Laird over at the seminary. Lots of good stuff happening. Visit them at the St. Thomas booth at the State Fair. You're going to get a free fan of Pope Francis. It's a good way to just keep this in front of the people. And if it's a hot day, it'll bring some comfort to them. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away. When we come back, we're going to talk with Denise Hurl about sharing your faith on the street, which could happen, you know, at the State Fair. Witness on a stick. Rediscover.
Every day, we're faced with choices in our lives, although it seems these days some of those choices are made for us. Many auto insurance companies try to make you think they get to choose who does your windshield repair. But in Minnesota, that's one choice we still have. So why not choose the Auto Glass Install Company? You even get to choose whether your chipped or broken windshield is fixed at home or while you work, because the Auto Glass Install Company comes to you.
I'm Nancy Jasperson, and with my husband Michael and our daughter Brandy, we hope you will choose our local glass company. We offer personal on-site service that's convenient to your schedule. We work with your insurance company, so there's no hassle for you. We use only the highest quality materials to ensure your satisfaction and, most importantly, your safety. We've been the choice of Relevant Radio listeners for more than 6 years now.
The Auto Glass Installed Company fixes glass in all makes, all models, even collector cars and street rods. Call 763-274-0177 or visit relevantradio.com, keyword glass.
Can you imagine just walking up to somebody that you've never met before, never seen before, and talking about the most important thing in life, which is their relationship with God? I know what you're going to say. I knew you'd say, no, I can't imagine that. Well, I want you to reimagine, because you can do it. And it actually is what we're all called to do, is to be prepared at any moment to be a witness and to give a reason for the hope that is in our hearts and our tongues, as the Old Testament says, should be like the pen of a ready writer, you know, ready at any point to share with people. And it's actually not that hard to start up a conversation with anybody. You know, it's really not that hard. Joining us on the show today is Denise Hurl, and she is the leader of the St. Paul Street Evangelization Team here in the Twin Cities. You may recall that last year we brought in the St. Paul Street Evangelization Seminar, and we taught, about 150 people how to share their faith. And then they went out that day over on Grand and started talking to people, handing out rosaries and sharing their stories about Christ with others, and it was really successful. Well, emerging out of that comes our little superstar of evangelization, Denise Hurl. And Denise, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Jeff. It's an absolute gift to be here.
I know we don't have any problem with having you talk now, because you've learned how to talk all about Jesus anywhere.
You didn't have to cut me off.
And everywhere. You know, for people that might say, well, that's just simply not for me, what would you say to them?
You know, there's two things. As a parent, we always use the carrot and the stick. And definitely in my life, that was the motivation to learn how to do street evangelization. But what I tell people is that we've been given a great gift, And think about when you received, I don't know, a diamond ring on your engagement or a grandchild or a child was born. You want to tell everybody. And if your faith is bigger and better than all of those things, those material things that we could get, and it's a gift from God, you're going to want to tell them. So you already have the motivation there. You need to tap in to know how great that gift is. But there's a great quote, St. John Paul II, mentioned or quoted in Redemptoris Missio, which actually is, I think, a quote out of Lumen Gentium. And he says that those of us who have been graced with the Catholic faith have more of an obligation to share our faith in word and deed. And I always concentrate on that section, word. And he ends it with a very sobering warning or prophecy. He says, if you choose not to do this, not only will you not be saved, but you will be judged more severely. And so I like to concentrate on the carrot. I like to go out and just remember in my prayer and in just walking around, this is a gift greater than anything I have. Why wouldn't I want to share that with somebody? And then also to remember that salvation happens by God through us.
Before we go any deeper on this, which I want to go deep into evangelization, tell us just a little bit about yourself and where you go to church.
Absolutely. Well, I was born and raised in Milwaukee. You can probably tell from my accent.
Paul, she didn't tell us that before the show.
I know. And I met my husband at the University of Notre Dame. We were both raised very culturally Catholic, sort of in name only, and lived a very secular life. You know, we'd get to Mass when we could and when it was convenient. Ended up having four children. Three of them, our triplets, were born while my husband was in graduate school. So it was a very stressful time. And it was the beginning of a very stressful time. And we started seeing opportunities for the Lord to break in, but we were still so stubborn that we wouldn't really give him the chance. Fast forward to the year 2005, and we were both very restless, and we were arguing a lot in our marriage, and our kids were wild. And I went to church, and there was a priest, our pastor there at St. Gabriel's in Hopkins, used to be St. Joseph's in Hopkins. And I just said, Father, you know, I hate my life. I've got everything I need. We've got more money than we can spend. Our kids are doing well in school, and we're so unhappy.
Wow.
And he said,
that's the American.
Yeah,
it's so common.
It is so common. And, you know, we looked at our lives. We're morally good. We're not killing anybody. We're not doing drugs. We don't beat our kids. We're not cheating on each other. Why are we so miserable? And that's when God broke through. And through this priest, he brought my husband and I back to the church. We are reverts. And very shortly after that, my father died very unexpectedly. And I realized at that point that I had a choice to make. Either I was going to let God work through this. He couldn't bring my dad back. Nobody could. But either I was going to trust him more than I've trusted even myself or my husband, or we were going to get right back on that roller coaster, and I was going to be miserable. And my dad was my anchor. Mm-hmm. I'm named after my dad. We're both mathematicians, math teachers. And I just said, Lord, if you're real and if you really want to be in my life, then you got to do something right here. And it just took off. The door was cracked open and he blew through it.
Wow.
And,
oh, that's great.
Yeah,
what a story. I did not know some of those details about your life. So let's move on to the evangelization part. Last year, St. Paul Street Evangelization came to town. And how did you hear about it? And what put you over the edge as far as, you know, I'm going to do this?
Well, actually, it starts 2 years earlier. On a Facebook link, I saw, you know, recommended page, go follow this, St. Paul Street Evangelization. And I had been to the Renewal Ministries School of Evangelization on a fluke. My husband signed up and then he couldn't go and said, no, you need to go. And I've already paid for it. You got to go.
Providence.
And I said, no, I really don't want to. And he said, no, you really got to go. And it was, again, one of those openings that God just blew right through. And at the end of that experience, we did do street evangelization on Saturday afternoon after several days of training. And I had to tell you, I am the most introverted person, even though you can't shut me up now.
I mean, we're all thinking that right now. Why, Jeff, how come you got that introvert on the program?
Yeah, she's not talking. but I was scared stiff, and I ended up going to Loring Park during the Gay Pride Festival with a group of about 16 other men. I was the only woman there. That was kind of ironic. And just, we had been trained, we had all the tools, we had all the methods, and I still was just tongue-tied. Mm-hmm. And I finally found a booth that had Catholics for Change, and I went up, and And it was truly a Holy Spirit moment. And I think in evangelization, but even in our Catholic lives, we forget the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I said a quick prayer. I said, Holy Spirit, you got to give me the words because I have no idea what to say to these people. And it was this amazing moment. Instead of being attacked or accused or argued with, I had this touching moment with a father at a booth who shared with me his pain of his son's lifestyle. And it was amazing. And that just, that, you know, you get, it's like the gateway drug. You do it once, and then you just say, wow, that was amazing. And I can't believe God used me that way. And you just keep doing it. So right about 2 years before the seminar, the training seminar in October, I found the website. I called Steve Dawson out of the blue, and I said, I've done street evangelization. I want to bring this to the Twin Cities. He said, all right, go through the training online. Here's, you know, call me anytime. And I just couldn't get anybody to help me. And one of the rules I have is I never go out by myself. I you know, if I'm going out intentionally mm-hmm. to do street evangelization. And I prayed and I said, Lord, you know, you put this on my heart. Why isn't it happening? But I knew deep down it was a time of trust. He wanted it to be about him, not me. And at that point, it was still about me.
When we talk about street evangelization, paint the picture for our listeners. What do you mean by that? You're talking about cold calling, aren't you? You're talking about just approaching people that may have a need in their life. And what do you do?
You know, it can take so many different forms. And I think what I like to share with people who say, wow, I could never do that. I would never want to do that. That's not my gift. You know, I'm in the background. It's really not about, we do have an intentional pathway, a method that we use where we set up a booth, we have pamphlets, we have rosaries, and it really just is an invitation. Hey, how are you today? Would you like a free rosary? And if they say yes, do you know what the rosary is? It's a prayer. Here's a pamphlet about it. Where do you go to church? It's this just very non-confrontational invite.
Mm-hmm.
But when I talk about street evangelization, what I really am talking about is broader than that, and it's very akin to what you experienced in Canada. You're just aware of the people around you. You put on God's glasses, I tell people, and say,
let's make a comment there. What you're saying is so important, Denise, in that when you go into a restaurant, you go to the state fair, wherever you're at, you've got to open your eyes to who's around you. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that we don't evangelize is that it's not part of our mindset. We're not looking.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start looking, it's amazing what you find.
And I think it definitely is a mindset that when you start to do it, it becomes your regular way of looking at the world. And one of the things that I know beginning evangelists or anyone who wants to share their faith is afraid of is being argued with. Well, the great news is that it's the truth. It doesn't need your defense. And you're there to invite and share. We at St. Paul Street Evangelization, we say we listen, we befriend, and we invite. And so the first thing is eyes open, ears open. And oftentimes, people don't, they're not ready. And mm-hmm. that's not your fault. That's not your failure. It's okay. But there are other times where you can see in a person's face whether they're giving you a latte at Starbucks or they're sitting next to you on an airplane, and you can just tell there's something heavy in their heart. And if you just say, hey, how's your day going? I noticed that you look a little sad. It's just very, very non-confrontational, and it almost never, I think I've had two people argue with me in all the years that I've been doing this.
But the big fear that we have oftentimes is that we're going to be rejected, you know, and which is fine. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're rejected in a lot of ways anyway in our life, and rejection is something that we have to be willing to accept if this gospel is different than the world thinks. But we're afraid that we're going to be rejected, or we even go to the end and say, well, someone's going to hit me, you know, or whatever.
That's never happened.
I was going to say, I just do not have bad stories.
I don't either.
In 40 years, did I say 40? I meant 10. 40 years of sharing Christ on the street with people, all the way from preaching to just going up and talking to people, I have never had what I would call a bad, bad experience.
I haven't either. And some of them have started out very tense. We were at the Hopkins Raspberry Festival a couple weeks ago, and I had 13 first-time evangelists with us. And a Muslim man came up and was really ready for an argument. And praise God, the evangelist that he ended up talking to was this woman who was so gentle. I mean, think Mother Teresa gentle. Think joyful. And she just wouldn't give him an inch to try to rattle her. And I just watched and I thought, wow, she really is speaking the words of Christ with Christ's heart. And sure enough, they talked for about an hour. He left. He came back and he said, I don't understand why you're not angry. I'm trying to, you know, he admitted, I'm trying to make you mad and you're not getting mad. What's going on here? And she had already been talking to somebody else or wasn't available. I said, that's the love of Christ. And that's what we're here to share, you know, and you're free to take it or not. But you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the love of Christ. I don't think I'd say that to somebody, but I would always have that in my heart. You're not rejecting me. It's the love of Christ, and you're not ready for it. That's okay.
Let me ask you this, Denise. By the way, we're talking with Denise Hurl, and she was a graduate of the St. Paul Street Evangelization Seminar last October, and she's the leader in the Twin Cities here, and she's been bringing people out into the streets, sharing Christ with people. I don't know if you're going to go to the state fair. Are you going to do anything with the state fair? But maybe, huh?
Yeah, well, you know, the state fair, some of the places that we go are a little more full of red tape, and because we are an organization, you have to be cognizant and respectful of the rules.
Is that true at the state fair?
You know, I don't know. But we have so many other festivals that we're going to. One of the great things about St. Paul Street Evangelization is they really encourage people to evangelize in their own neighborhoods. Part of being an evangelist is walking with someone on a journey, whether that's getting them to just look at their own lives and be reflectful, mm-hmm. or taking the next step and saying, yeah, I need God in my life. And so places like the State Fair are awesome, but I find that when we do local festivals, people connect on a way that makes it more long-term. At the Hopkins Raspberry Festival, I could say to people, this is my church right behind me. We're on the lawn of my parish. I'm there at 8:30 Sunday morning, St. Joseph's side, third pew back. Come join me. And there's that long-term connection. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't discourage people from being at the state fair. Evangelization happens everywhere. But for organized, intentional events, we tend to stick to the more neighborhood and parish-oriented venues. And I think it's more comfortable for first-time evangelists. We're still building our team. It's also more fruitful because you can invite someone back.
If somebody wants to know more about this, they want to get deeper into it and say, well, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to go on the street, but I want to learn. I want to learn. How would they go about it, Denise?
Excellent question. Thanks for asking. There's a website. I don't have the URL right off the top of my head, but it's just Google St. Paul Street Evangelization, and you'll get to the national website. There's a map on the front where it says get involved. There's a huge map of the country. Click on Minnesota, and my name will come up under Minnetonka.
So if we just go to get on your favorite browser,
yep.
and do a St. Paul Street Evangelization, it's going to come up with that.
And then just go to the map where click on Get Involved, go to the map, and there'll be three or four different places in Minnesota. Click on Minnetonka, and I update that website quite often.
So let me ask you this final question. You mentioned at the start of our discussion that you really are an average Catholic in this archdiocese. You're not a born street preacher or anything like that. You have a family, mm-hmm. you're a wife, and at the same time, you had everything,
mm-hmm.
and you weren't happy. Mm-hmm. But you found that happiness in Christ. That puts you on par with a lot of Catholics in the Twin Cities would say, I love my faith, and the faith has made a difference in my life. But let me ask you this. What has going the next step and actively, intentionally sharing Christ with people, what difference has that made in your life?
It has been an amazing transformation. Oftentimes when we get into what I would say the active Catholic mode, where we're going to Mass maybe every day, we're reading, we have regular prayer time, sometimes that can get a little bit insulating. And I say that, you know, people can get into a Catholic ghetto,
sure.
where they are completely unaware. All my friends are Catholic. We all go to the same events. What street evangelization has done for me is to take that beauty and that love and the mercy that I feel that's poured into my heart through those sacraments and through those relationships, and it makes it, I want to say, almost three-dimensional, because it's being given out to someone who doesn't have that. I'm more aware of the pain and hurt in the world, but it doesn't bring me despair. And so it's almost like putting on fertilizer on a really healthy plant, but then you put on this just the right kind of fertilizer,
mm-hmm.
and that plant just takes over your yard, and you're picking fruit off of it all the time. it's going from just being another plant in the garden to being the star, and people stop by and go, wow, the fruit is just
so
amazing.
So you're saying that evangelization has become the Catholic miracle grow in your life.
Absolutely.
And people will notice you at the state fair, look at that one right there. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, the joy is absolutely contagious and overwhelming.
Well, Denise, I want to thank you for joining us. And once again, if my friends, if you are interested in taking the next step and beginning to share your faith with people around you, whether it be family, and oftentimes family is even more difficult than a stranger, to be honest with you. But family, colleagues, neighbors, people on the street, someone standing at the line at Caribou, whatever it might be, this is for you. Stay in touch. Google St. Paul Street Evangelization. Look for Minnesota. Click on Minnetonka there, and you'll see Denise Hurl's name and the contact information, and there's going to be further trainings here in the Twin Cities. And who knows? You might be sitting with us and discussing, you know, the miracle grow in your life, and that you never thought you could do it. But I know from my own life that there's nothing quite like sharing with others as far as stirring up my own spirit and getting me excited about the Lord. And one of the real exciting things is the same thing that the disciples discovered when they were sent out and they came back. They said, Lord, they said, even the demons are subject to us. And he said, well, don't be rejoicing in that, but that your names are written in the book of life in heaven. And that's really the truth. When we go out and we share Christ, whether it be at a restaurant in Canada, as we did this last week, or other places, there is a little bit of a surprise of, Lord, look what's happening. And I never thought that this could happen. And it just buoys up your whole life. So I encourage you to take that step. And when you do, get in touch with us at the Office of Evangelization. We would love to hear from you. Thanks, Denise. Good talking to you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Well, we are going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Ali Aliyah. She's with us, and she has chosen the Twin Cities to be the place where her new album is going to be released September 3rd. Young adults, this is going to be a night. It's Labor Day weekend, but it's going to be a night that that you will not want to miss. She is one of the premier artists. She's up for Emerging Artist of the Year from the famous Abbey Fest Festival in Philadelphia. She's from Rice Lake, Wisconsin, currently works with Father Mike Schmitz up in Duluth, but she's going to join us in just a minute. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. Don't go away.
I'm Father Michael Becker, rector at St. John Vianney College Seminary, inviting you to the 12th annual Vianney Cup on Monday, September 19th. Join celebrity golfers Matt Burke and Brian Bonin on the greens at Midland Hills Country Club. The event also includes fantastic prizes, dinner, and a program featuring more than 120 of our current seminarians. Sponsorships and foursomes are available to benefit St. John Vianney and to support our mission of providing essential training today for tomorrow's Catholic priests. We do this through the first-class academic resources of the University of St. Thomas, through a systematic formation in Christian character, and through a traditional Catholic program of spiritual growth. Visit Vianney.net to learn more about our annual golf outing on September 19th. St. John Vianney College Seminary, men in Christ, men of the Church, men for others.
The beautiful voice of Ali Aliyah. She's been on the Rediscover Hour before, and I fell in love with her music a couple of years ago and brought her over to Israel, and she was our cantor over there. And I know that people around the country have been so blessed by her music. From Rice Lake, Wisconsin, now lives up in Duluth with Father Mike Schmitz. She works with him up there. And joining us on the Rediscover is Ali Aliyah. Ali, good to have you.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, you know, I am hearing more and more about you. I was over in Steubenville a couple of weeks ago at the Defending the Faith Conference, and a number of the artists over there just absolutely love your work.
Oh, thanks.
So you've got a new album. Your current album is four cuts, and of course that's on iTunes and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. But you just you've been cutting a new album, and that's been in the Twin Cities, right?
Yeah. We recorded at the Library Studio in Minneapolis, and it's almost done. We're ready to start releasing it soon.
How many cuts are on that album?
There are 12.
And you have a name?
12 new songs. Yeah, it's called The Labyrinth.
The Labyrinth. How did you come up with that name?
Well, it's one of the songs on the album. And the album itself is really inspired by scripture. And whenever I write my songs, I have multiple layers of meaning in them. And so, for example, it can impact the listener in whatever they're going on in their lives. And it relates to what's happening in my own life. But also, there's a very profound scriptural influence on mm-hmm. all my songs. And so this album is really inspired by the story of salvation, really. It starts with just kind of like the order of the songs. It starts with talking about Adam and Eve leaving the Garden of Eden for the first time and having to learn how to struggle and going into like that desert, that place where you're alone or you feel hopeless, but always having that promise of redemption and salvation there as well. So, for example, there's a couple of my songs that are on the album. Valley of Tears is one of them. So that's inspired by Adam and Eve leaving the garden for the first time. And then later on in the album, there's a song called Ransom Blood, which mm-hmm. is inspired by the story of Pentecost, specifically St. Peter, and being just lit on fire by the Holy Spirit.
Well, one of the things that I'm so impressed with your music, I'm so impressed with the depth of theology, scripture, even on your current album. I've said it before, but anybody that can use the word concupiscence, and it's a cool song. You've struck on something there. And I really seriously am very impressed with the depth of theology. You are a graduate of Franciscan University, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I know you got a degree in catechetics, and you've got a depth there that is a great match, not to mention that you are just a fantastic musician. Tell us about the party that's coming up in the Twin Cities, because you've chosen the Twin Cities as the launching point for your new album.
Yes, yeah. So we're celebrating the release of this new album. And I'm really excited because Jeff, you're going to be there.
I am.
It's going to be awesome.
Wouldn't miss it.
Sorry?
I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, thanks. and Luke Spihar, another very talented musician, he's going to be opening for my band. It's at the Ice House, which is an artsy little pub in Minneapolis. Doors open at 9:30 on September 3rd. So it's a Saturday. And,
okay. What time do doors open?
9:30. And then Luke goes on at 10.
Okay.
And yeah, and then I follow him with my band.
So you're inviting all of us to the party.
Yes, please come. Come and hang out with us. We'd love to meet everyone and really just share our love of the Lord through music.
So what's going to happen that night? You're at the Ice House at September 3rd. Doors open up at 9:30 with Luke Spihar. Then you're coming on at 10. Are you going to be singing some of the song with your band, some of the songs with your band there?
Yes. So we'll be playing some songs from our old album, but mostly specifically our new album. So we'll be it'll be the day that our album is released. So we'll be selling those and singing songs live from it.
And I know you want to get the word out to young adults. How can people get in touch with you to get more information if they want a bulletin announcements or get their young adult group aware of this? Where can they get more information from you?
They can go to my website, which is www.ally-alia.com, and that's ally-alieiga.com. They can also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My social media handles are all Ally Aaliyah, no space or dash or anything there. And you can get them more information.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to be there, and I invite all of you to come and join us for the release. We're blessed that you're coming to the Twin Cities to release the album. And from there, it'll go hopefully around the world. Hey, you're up for Emerging Artist of the Year at the Big Abbey Fest in Philadelphia. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I hear. It's really exciting.
That's exciting. We'll have to get a report after that. That's coming up September 24th in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Matt Maher has been there the last couple of years, and so I know that they're going to be blessed by all of your music. And it's also available on iTunes, right?
Yes.
Good, mm-hmm. Good. Allie, thanks so much for joining us today. And folks, if you want to help in the big party that's coming up September 3rd at the Ice House in Minneapolis, then get in touch with Allie at her website, allie.aleiga, A-L-E-I-G-H-A.com, and get all the information on how you can help out there. That's one of the things we like to do on the show is encourage people to help other Catholics, especially in the arts, to be successful and to get that message out. And Allie's words are not only powerful, but her music it penetrates the heart. It's very, very, very powerful. In fact, Allie, if you're still with us, just the last week or so, I was telling John Michael Talbot, who is a great Catholic singer, a friend of mine, about your music and a couple of other artists in Canada, Janelle and David Bray. So good luck. God bless you.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you, too.
That's Allie Aleiga. Wow, we've had a great show today, you know, talking with Karen Laird over at the seminary about everything that's happening at the two seminaries, St. Paul Seminary and St. John Vianney Seminary, as well as the master's program over there. Big reminder, too, the Catechetical Institute, it's a waiting list now, and in about a week they start up. And when they start up, it's going to be the new class of St. Teresa of Calcutta. And every year now, they're selling out. When we say, you got to get in, we really mean it. You know, it literally sells out. So there's a waiting list, and you can get on that waiting list at cistudent.com. Great talking with Denise Hurl on the show today about street evangelization and, of course, Allie Aleiga. You can always listen to these shows on Relevant Radio or go to the archspm.org website and listen to back issues of the Rediscover Hour. We got so much talent in this archdiocese, so many good things happening, and you'll hear about them every week here on the Rediscover Hour. I want to remind you to pray for our Archbishop Hebda. Pray that God will continue to protect him, lead him, give him wisdom as our shepherd. Pray for Bishop Cousins, who is just doing a fantastic job. And the Vicar General, Father Lackawitzer, pray for all of our leaders, those at the Chancery who are doing a great job. And of course, God is desiring to walk with you and to use you on a daily basis, not only to encourage you and to bring you into the fold, but also to use you to bring others into the fold. Joining me now to talk about some of the other really cool, which is Greek for neat.
You things, just couldn't get rid of me.
Is Paul Sadek, the Mr. Voice here at Relevant Radio.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. St. Genevieve Parish in Centerville invites you to their Parish Festival and Chicken Dinner Sunday, August 21st, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's bingo, pull tabs, kids games, silent auction, and more. Chicken dinner from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., raffle drawing at 4:30 p.m. Come enjoy a day of fun, and for more information, visit the St. Genevieve Parish website, www.stgens.org.
Come to celebrate the gift of being grand at the Catholic Grandparent Conference on Saturday, August 27th at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. The conference includes presentations with Bishop Andrew Cousins, Judy Cousins, his mother, me, Catherine Hurston, and more. For more information and to register online, visit www.catholicgrandparenting.com or call Susanna Bolle at Bowles, B-O-L-L-E-S, at archspm.org.
The Church of St. Henry in Monticello celebrates their annual Fun Fest August 27th and 28th. Come enjoy the sounds of three live bands, an authentic Mexican dinner, games, and activities for all ages. Visit sthenrycatholic.info or call 763-295-2402 for more information.
The Women's Life Care Center in Little Canada invites you to an open house and family fun day on Saturday, September 10th from 11 to 2 p.m. The Life Care Center provides vital education programs and material assistance for low-income families in our community. The event will include delicious brick oven pizza, fun activities for all ages, a silent auction, and the opportunity to win a variety of prizes. The event is free to attend. Free will donations will be accepted. To learn more, visit www.wlccforlife.com or call 651-777-0350.
Men are invited to the Catholic Watchman Rally at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids, Thursday, September 15th, 6:30 to 9 p.m. Bishop Andrew Cousins will present On the Strength of Humility, Obedience to Christ in All Things. This Catholic Watchman Rally is an opportunity for men to draw closer to Jesus Christ and invest in fellowship with other men. There'll be time for adoration and confession. Dinner is provided. Free will offering accepted. Questions? Contact Susanna Bolles at bolles@archspm.org or 651-291-4411.
St. John the Baptist Catholic Church in Savage invites you to sign up for a workshop on icons being held the week of September 12th through 16th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. each day. Sounds like a lot of information. The workshop experience spans 5 days in a reflective atmosphere of studio time, prayer, and instruction. Each participant will be given instruction to complete the icon of the guardian angel during the workshop. Your participation supports icon making ministry and renewal in the life of the church. For more information, contact Judy Simala at Simala, that's S-Y-M-A-L-L-A at CenturyLink.net, or you can give her a call at 651-351-0650.
You didn't want to say iconography, huh?
Well, I don't know if people know what that means exactly.
We take a week off next week.
We do.
And then it's back to school.
Yeah, it is back to school. And we're going to be talking with Father Duffner, the pastor of the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids, as well as the principal there. And that's going to be Mr. Michael McGinty, all about going back to school and some tips on what you can do to help your kids be successful this new school year. It's going to be a great show. Hey, have a good time at the fair.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.